Amen. How are we doing this morning? Doing well. Well, I got this clock down here. It says 11:22. I have strict instructions to be done on time because there's a Chiefs game at noon. Is that right? And we got some baptisms going on this morning. All right. And so I'm going to get straight to the point. Y'all okay with that? Okay. Before I jump into John chapter 8, I just want to say this to y'all. As I was hearing Miss Connie up here talk about the children's ministry, and your family coach talk about what's going on in the children's ministry, this was impressed upon me. I know the founding passages of this church, or the vision passages, okay, of this church. Jake and I have spent quite a bit of time together, and so he shared those with me. So I know that you guys are familiar with Ephesians chapter 4, correct? Okay. And so as Miss Connie and as your family coach, we're talking about the children's ministry and calling you, inviting you into something, inviting you into ministering to the kids that are here at this church. The kids that are a part of this body, as they invited you, as they called you into that, okay, I just want to remind you of this. I want to remind you of your vision passage. Okay, your vision passage says this: and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning or craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. For from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It was said just a little bit ago that the teachers, the volunteers, the workers in the children's ministry have been stretched. Miss Connie was on the brink, right, of bowing out or being done with the children's ministry. And I want to say this to you, all right, because it's really easy for me. I had Jake come talk at our church, all right, not too long ago, and he got done. He said, Zach, I love talking at your church. Anytime you want to invite me to come back, invite me to come back, because I can come in, I can say whatever I want, and I can leave. And I don't have to shepherd the situation. All right, I want to say this to you. All right, because I can come in this morning, and guess what? I can walk back out, and I can say, Jake, here, you need to shepherd this situation now. Okay, what I want to say to you is this. It's what Ephesians 4 says. That this is the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, God has gifted people in this body to make sure that this body is built up into the mature manhood of Christ, into the fullness of Christ. And I need you to understand something this morning. This church lacks nothing. To build this church up into the fullness of Christ, this church lacks nothing. This church is not void of the gifts, the talents, the desires to make sure that everybody I'm looking at right now is built up into the fullness of Christ before you take your last breath. I need you to understand that this morning. God has the provision for his people, for his body in this room. And so if the children's ministry has been stretched, if the children's ministry has been stretched, it's been without, unnecessary burdens are falling on a few, I'm going to ask you to consider, hey, if God has gifted this church, if God has brought the people into this church that he's brought in here, why? Why is that the case? Why is it the case that the children downstairs and the children up here don't have the fullness of what God has brought into this room? And before you go, hey, that's not me. That's not me. I don't have the gifts. I'm not qualified. I'm not equipped. That is the lie of the enemy. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that we have the power to demolish every stronghold that tries to set itself up against us. That is a stronghold the enemy wants you to believe. You're not qualified, you're not equipped, you're not good enough to teach and minister to children. No. God's word says otherwise. It says, I have equipped my church to make sure my church reaches the fullness of my son. Amen? Okay? I say that in way of encouragement to you. If it's conviction, let it be conviction. But I encourage you, as what has already been echoed this morning, pay attention to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart, and he's given you a disposition and a desire for the youth that are in this church, that are part of the body, pay attention to that tug. So that this church may reach the fullness of Christ. Don't ignore that tug. John chapter 8, that's where you guys have been, right? We've been working through the book of John, okay? John chapter 8, verse 48. This passage is what Jake has assigned me this morning, so I'm going to read it to you, okay? And then I'm going to get straight to the point. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. A few weeks ago, my wife and I, we purchased a female basset hound. Anybody own a basset hound? Any hands? Well, yeah, we got a couple of basset owners. All right, I love basset hounds. I went to Arkansas, I picked up a basset hound. You know, the ears that drag the floor. You know, they get done drinking out of the water bowl and they come get some scratches and now you're wet because their ears are wet. All right, Bassett's a big, floppy, saggy, you know, dog. But I love him, all right? We went and picked up this Basset hound as a female. And I brought her back. I picked her up from a breeder. And so there's about, you know, 12 Basset hounds, you know, at this breeder. And they lived outside. You know, they lived in their dog houses and they never came inside, never came inside the owner's house. They were They were fixed outside. Not a whole lot of human contact. They were there to serve a purpose, right? They were there to have babies and to make the breeder money. I'm not making any statements about breeders, all right? So don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? Don't call PETA on me or whatever, okay? But I'm setting up the context here. Not a whole lot of human interaction. Fixed outside, never been in a house before. And so I drive four hours home from Arkansas, and I got this, you know, female basset hound in the seat next to me. I'm just scratching its head, scratching its ears, you know, trying to warm the dog up to me. But she's like, dude, when are you going to stop touching me, you know? And I get home, and she won't come inside. Will not come inside. She wants nothing to do with me. And so I said, okay, we're going to sit here in the driveway, you know, until you break down, all right, or until I leave you out here, you know. I had plans for you, you know, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, and you're not getting with it, you know. So I'm sitting in the driveway with my wife, you know, my wife comes home, and, you know, this dog sees my wife, and the dog's like, just runs right up to her. Falls her right inside. I can't get the dog to eat a treat. The dog's lapping treats out of my wife's hand. I'm like, what is going on here? You know, so over the last couple of weeks, still, there's no affection for me. You know, I'm like, I got you. I came and got you. I scratch your ears all the way home. Okay? But I spent the last couple of weeks sitting on my recliner trying to call her name. Marley, come here. Marley, come here. You know, I hold my hand down. Marley, come here. You know, the reality is she won't come to me. She won't get to know me. She won't let me get to know her. Okay? The reason why I say that to you is this. The conversation that Jesus is having with the Jews right here, Jesus is telling the Jews this very same thing. He's telling the Jews, hey, I know the Father. The Father knows me. You do not know him because you won't come to him. You won't come to him. I know him. That's what he says right here. That's what he says. But you have not known him. I know him. I know the Father. If you knew the Father, you'd be listening to the words that I'm saying to you. For the Father is the one that has sent me to say these words to you. He says earlier in John, I only say what I hear the Father saying to me. Later in John, he's going to say, I only do what I see my Father doing. I know the Father in an intimate way. When he calls me, I come to him. When he says something, I repeat it. When I see him do something, I do it. I know him intimately. You do not know him because you will not come to him. You will not hear the words that are coming out of my mouth. You won't believe what I'm saying. If you don't believe me, you don't believe in the one who sent me. That's what he's saying to them. He's saying the Father sent me so you would know him through me. I am. I am. That's what he says to them. I'm him. I'm the Son. I'm the Son of the person you call your Father, your God. I am. And I've always been just like he's always been. And I've come so that you would know him. You know, knowing somebody implies obedience. I don't want you to forget that this morning. Knowing somebody implies obedience. You know what would happen? If my dog Marley, when I called her, would come to me and sit next to me, what she would come to find out is I've only come to comfort her. She would come to know my heart. She would come to know my disposition. She would come to know me. If she would just come. If she would hear what I'm saying, Marley, come on. And she would obey, she would come, then she would truly know me. That's what Jesus is telling the Jews. If only you would hear the words that I'm saying and obey them, then you would know the Father. You would know what He's really like. That He wants to comfort you. That He wants to lead you into truth. That He wants to lead you into freedom. That He has plans to prosper you. That He does have a purpose for you. He does have gifts for you. He does have these things that you read in Scripture. You would know them only in your obedience. Only in your obedience. To really know somebody is to imply obedience. Y'all with me? Does that make sense? Okay, that's what Jesus is inviting the Jews into, correcting the Jews about. And that's what He's inviting all of us into this morning. I know the Father. The Father is the one that sent me. I want you to know His heart for you as well, but it's going to take you obeying what I'm saying to you, trusting what I'm saying to you. Let me ask you this question. Do you know the Father? And when I ask that question, do you know the Father? I want to follow up with a couple more questions. When is the last time that you heard from the Father? Just now. Jesus says, I only say what I hear my Father say. Jesus says, when I leave, take heart, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit that's going to dwell within you, and I will bring to mind everything that you need to remember and hear so that you may walk in the paths of righteousness. To know the Father implies you have a relationship with Him. You can hear from Him. I'm going to get ahead of myself here. John chapter 10 coming up in just a little bit. You know what Jesus says in John chapter 10? He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them life, eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I want to encourage you this morning by saying to you, all of the promises of God that you find in Scripture, you can have confidence and assurance that they're yours if you hear from the Father. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. If you know the Father's voice, if you know the voice of Jesus, you know the voice of the Holy Spirit, then all of the promises of Scripture are true for you. Because He goes on to say, they know my voice, they follow me, and nobody can snatch them away from me. And they will have eternal life. So it begs the question, do we know the Father's voice? When's the last time you heard the Father's voice? And this is a practical question. This is not some idea up in the sky is floating around. I was sitting right here by my wife just, I don't know, 15 minutes ago, listening to Connie speak. And as I'm listening to Connie speak, it is Ephesians 4 that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. And the Holy Spirit's urging me, tugging on me, say this to the congregation about my children. I had no plans. I had no plans to talk to you about the children's ministry. Jake didn't be like, hey, Zach, you know what? We really need to bolster up our children's ministry. Can you get in there and whip them with a cord, you know? Jake never did that. I know what the Father's voice sounds like. And that gives me great peace and great comfort, because then the next promise He makes to me is nobody can snatch you away from me. Nobody. I will keep you until the very end. He tells the Jews, you don't know him, because you will not obey his voice. And you can't hear his voice because you're not of God. That's why he tells Nicodemus earlier in John 3, you must be born again. You want to hear from the Father? You must be born again. That's the free gift of grace, the ability to be born again. And then after that, then it's your and I responsibility to listen to that voice and to follow. Eddie's going to come on up and I'm going to close. And we're going to see a demonstration. We're going to see a demonstration of some people surrendering to the voice of Jesus and going, you know what? I want you to know, I want all of y'all to know, I'm following that voice. I'm following the voice of one that's called me out of darkness into light. So it's a beautiful celebration, and all of heaven rejoices, right? All of heaven rejoices, so we're going to rejoice with them, okay? I'm going to pray, all right, and I'm going to turn it over to Eddie. God, thank you for your voice. Thank you that you have not led us into darkness and left us there to fend for ourselves. Left us to figure out our own life, figure out our own mess, figure out our own sin. Because the reality is, it's left up to ourselves. We wouldn't figure it out. That's why we got into this place to begin with. We're desperate for your leadership, for your direction, for your voice. And so, God, thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you want to relate to us. Thank you that you sent your Son so that we may know you. God, I pray for the hearts in this room that they would grow to know your word. They would grow to know that they can trust your voice. Because you're not a father who's sitting up there saying to them, hey, you should be ashamed of this. You should be ashamed of this. And because you've done this, I have nothing. It's not naturally your desires. Because your desires are corrupted by your flesh. But trust me, what I have for you is more for you. That's what your word says in Psalm 23. You lead us in the green pastures where we can lie down and rest. When we drink from these rivers that nourish us when we're thirsty. That's what you have to offer us. And so God, teach us to trust your word. And to live in a rhythm to hear it. Holy Spirit, accomplish what you set forth to accomplish this morning. You don't need my permission. I'm just pleading with you. Amen.